Welcome, everybody, to the Lipsy's Aim Higher podcast. Across from me, as always, Jason Klostner. I'm Rob Abruzzino, and happy summer, Jason.
Yeah, Rob. Hey, it's kind of glad to be back up here. We've been traveling a little bit, so it's nice to get back in the office and get back to doing some podcasts.
Officially summertime, and I was out a little bit. I know you were out a little bit, and we all kind of reconvened. We have our weekly management meeting where we all huddle up and talk about the state of Lipsy's, the state of the industry, what's going on in the world. And I thought you were on vacation, you know, one of your many Hawaii trips that you take every other month. But no, I'm kidding. But
really?
Yeah. Anyways, so you were not in Hawaii, in fact. Where did you go?
I was actually in Raton, New Mexico.
Raton. Balmy this time of year, I guess.
Yeah, well, it was pretty, it was hot, but it's a dry heat. They always say it's a dry heat.
Right.
Yeah, it's actually not bad.
Yeah.
A little bit of elevation there, so it was nice at night especially. But I was at the annual Shootist Holiday.
The Shootist Holiday. Mm-hmm. So I'm not familiar with this, and we discussed this very briefly before the podcast, but I kind of wanted to fly blind a little bit so I could ask questions, because there's probably other people, I assume, that aren't familiar either. So
right.
Let's talk about it. So what is it exactly?
Well, it's an event that originated in 1985. The gun writer John Taffin, which I know a lot of people who follow our Lipsy's exclusives probably know who John Taffin is. He's mm-hmm. been writing about single action and double action revolvers and lever guns and stuff, that kind of the stuff that we like to do for years. And anyways, he started this it was actually a fictitious article that he had written about a gathering with some of the shootist type friends of his, the guys that were either the gun writers or law enforcement guys or some experimenters.
So he made up a story.
of inviting, I forget the amount of people, it was around 8 or 10 people, and said, okay, hey, we're going to have this event. You can only bring 2 handguns. I'm not going to tell you what we're doing. And, you know, what would you bring and all this kind of stuff. So he sent letters to all these gentlemen.
Yeah.
And they responded back what they'd bring, and he wrote the article about it. Well, they all got together and said, hey, you know, this was actually a great idea. We ought to actually do it.
Yeah,
and so
yeah.
The next year in 86, they all got together and had their first annual meeting.
That's cool.
Yeah. And so,
obviously I didn't know that. So there's rules. Are there still rules? Is that how it
goes? No, it's definitely got away from just bringing 2 guns.
Right.
But it is a kind of an industry focused, I would say it's more of a 6 gun style.
I was going to say it's not necessarily surrounded by new product or like a lot of other events and showcases and
right,
shooting events that happen.
It's really what, instead of it being what I would consider a commercialized new products type event, it's really attended by, and it's invitation only. There's only a few invites every year, but and then the members can come once you're voted in.
How many people are there? How many guys go?
There's on an average year about 100.
Oh wow,
yeah,
it's grown then.
But most of the these members are really hardcore gun people.
Right.
I mean, they're the kind of guys that are experimenting, you know, that were powder coating cast bullets, you know, 10 years ago, before it became mainstream. You know, guys are experimenting with all different type of cartridges, different types of rifles and handguns. Really, some of the long range shooting feats these guys, I mean, for them, a lot of these guys taking a 4 5/8 inch 44 special and shooting a rocket 500 yards is really not a big deal.
Right.
They're sitting here doing it all day.
Jeez.
And it's a great group of minds who actually shoot and use this stuff year round.
So you're kind of bringing, it's BYOG, I guess, right?
You're
bringing whatever.
Yeah, you bring
what
your interest is.
Yeah, and your favorites.
It happens that it's the event, at least the last, since I've been going for the last, since 2009, it's been at the NRA Winnington Center in New Mexico, in Raton, which if you've never been to that shooting facility, it's awesome. I mean, they have pretty much every discipline you can think of, you can shoot out there. I mean, if you can haul it, you can shoot it kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we have lots of different ranges available. One of the big handgun silhouette ranges is reserved for the shooters for that week.
Right.
But there's other ranges that you can go. You can go shoot the steel buffalo at 1,123 yards.
Wow.
and stuff like that. And
so you bring obviously your choice firearms, and the mm-hmm. other guys are, you know, doing the same.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of swap. You get.
You'll shoot more of other people's stuff than your own.
Right.
At least in my experience. Yeah. So it's
well. What'd you bring? We have to know what you brought, right?
Well, so this year I brought probably more rimfire than I normally bring just because of the ammo situation. But usually I'm 44 specials, 38s, stuff like that. I've been having a little bit of elbow issue lately, so I've been bringing in my heavy kickers. Right. So I left the 480s and the heavy 45 Colts and stuff at the house. But shot a lot of 44 special. But I brought my Jeff Quinn GP100, and that gun shoots great.
Yeah,
I mean, we were wearing – they have at the handgun silhouette range – they've got, I think, 25-meter, 50-meter, 75, and 100-meter targets. And the 100-meter is that steel rams.
Yeah.
And it was really pretty simple to hit those rams at 100 meters with that gun. Wow. Pretty consistent.
What'd you shoot out there that you don't have and that you quickly fell in love with or several things?
Yeah, probably. Oh, yeah. So one of the guys had – I know this, people might have seen him – had one of the 9-millimeter Gatling guns. Out Whoa. There, and it feeds off of Glock magazines.
Yeah,
that thing was cool. I mean, so it's like, I think it's 6 barrels, 9-millimeter barrels.
Yeah,
it's on a I think it comes on a chassis, but he had it on a tripod.
Yeah,
and you can adjust the elevation and windage and everything, and it's got the hand crank.
Oh,
but it
wow!
Feeds off of. He had the 33-round Glock magazines or whatever. Yeah, and you can crank it as fast as you want.
Oh my gosh!
That I mean, it's all day. All you heard was that thing going off. You know, so but it was great. That gun was really really cool.
Never got a chance to cool off. I bet. I'm sure. Yeah.
No. And so that was really pretty neat. Yeah. One of the guys who's come out there every year, he brings these 11-millimeter Mauser rifles out there, which are really cool old guns, but they shoot great.
Yeah.
And we shoot there. It's something called the banana rock. There's this rock that used to be shaped like a banana that's 560 yards or whatever, but it's been shot so much now, it's about the size of a laptop, you know? And so we shoot that every year with those rifles. I mean, it's just cool like that. I did bring my Christensen Arms 6.5 Creedmoor out to shoot at the long range stuff because we don't get a really big chance to do that around here.
The Buffalo? Is that
It was pretty easy to hit. I tell you, that starting going out there, it was what really sold me on the 6.5 Creedmoor.
Yeah.
You know, I know everybody loves to hate on the 6.5 Creedmoor right now, but I tell you what, you'll notice it when you go out there because the first year I went – I had a really super accurate 20-inch 308 heavy barrel gun. It would shoot bug hole groups. Mm-hmm. You know? So I couldn't wait to bring it out there. Yeah. And, of course, out to the 500-meter or so targets, man, it was money. And then when I started stepping out to past 1,000, it fell apart quick.
Yeah.
And those bullets were just – they were going subsonic.
Right.
It just went to consistency. So the next year I brought a 20-inch 6.5 Creedmoor. And it was like the easy button.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just like you couldn't miss with that thing. The wind, they bullets stayed supersonic way out there. The wind didn't deflect them near as much. It made me a believer, especially for the long-range stuff.
So who goes to this? You know, not name names, but is it? We still have writers and
– Yeah, a lot of gun writers.
Obviously, just gun nuts and gun people and gun industry people guys like
Yeah, you. and there's a lot – actually, we had a lot of industry representation this year, a lot of guys from industry, a lot of – what I consider, you know, when you say gun industry, a lot of people automatically think of big gun makers, which there was a few guys from those represented there. But also a lot of the what I call the accessory and enhancement industry. You know, Andy Larson from Skinner Sights was there.
Mm-hmm.
Cool products. I mean, if you want an aperture sight for your rifle,
yeah,
and check out Skinner Sights. They make great stuff. He was there, you know, Rob Leahy and Mike Baranti, both the leather makers we talk about all the time, were both there with their stuff. And just a lot of people in the industry. I spent a lot of time with Bobby Tyler from Tyler Gunworks.
Yeah,
he was
absolutely.
There with a lot of his showing off his stuff and left a few more guns with him.
No doubt.
The drop off and then pick up the next year, kind of thing.
Yeah,
so,
that's
but,
awesome.
So it's a lot of that. It's just a... It's a really neat event. It's something that I've been going to now for about 12 years, and I just look forward to it.
Do you guys compete at all? Like, you know, kind of a gentleman's competition? Or
It can be. Yeah. I mean, the thing is, you know, you get 100 people out there. It can get spread out at times.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, there's, you know, some people like to go shoot the long-range stuff. Some people like to shoot the handgun stuff.
Yeah.
And so, but it can be a little bit of that. It's nothing formal like that, but it's fun. It's funny. I do want to poll the guys though next year and see if we were limited to those two handguns again. What you know, what they would bring.
That would be, yeah.
It's challenging. I rack my brain about it every year what it would be, and it changes all the time.
You need to throw back to, yeah, the beginning, you know, an anniversary or maybe an anniversary year or something like that.
Well, a couple of the original members who still come and everything, it's funny when you ask them about it, what they picked their first time back in 1985 is totally different now than what they pick now. So kind of neat, but...
I have to imagine that's been some influence on you. What'd you say, 12 years you've been going?
Yeah.
I mean, there's been had to be some influence on you.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially maybe some of the more veteran or older guys. That sort of.
I mean, these guys really
changed your mind.
Pioneered
about things.
A lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got, you know, Wayne and Bob Baker, Freedom Arms fame out there.
Right.
I mean, Wayne Baker, you know, he was he's a World War II veteran.
Yeah.
And I believe he's well into his 90s now, but he still gets around, and you talk about a wealth of knowledge.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys, I mean, him and Dick Casull were developing the 454 Casull way back when they were taking, you know, old Colts and making oversized cylinders and hot rodding 45 Colts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So to be able to sit down and have conversations with those guys, it does give you some ideas, and a lot of the writers that go and media types that go there, they like the single action type stuff. So it's I like to share some of the stuff that we're working on with them, and they get feedback. During normal years, I usually bring a pile of guns out there for them. And of course this year it's been a little tight, but,
a pile was, you know, one.
Yeah. It wasn't much. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
But under normal circumstances, I've got all kind of stuff out there, and, it's neat for them to play around with it and give suggestions and tweak this and tweak that.
So do you have some younger guys out there now that we're 40 somethings, you and I, you know, so you got some younger enthusiasts so you've kind of probably been mentored to some degree with some of these guys.
Sure.
And now you're, you know, paying it forward, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Especially in this particular genre of firearms, which is, you know, the revolvers and that sort of thing.
And it's really, it's fun. It is rewarding to see somebody who's in their 20s or early 30s being really excited about 44 special, you know, single action revolvers and stuff like that, which you usually associate with old gray hair guys and stuff like that. But yeah, it's neat. There's a lot of, there's some upcoming talent in the industry that,
cool.
and it's really exciting. It's fun to get those guys and watch them be exposed to that, all that experience, know, and you remember too, you go back to 1986 through until the early 2000s, this was their one time a year to really get together and share this information. I mean, now you got Facebook groups on everything you can think of. You got internet forums, you got instant access to all this stuff. So you can share the information a lot quicker, but you still got to be back on your range actually doing this stuff.
Right.
And that's where these guys, the difference is, these are not guys sitting here and read about it on the internet and then give opinions on a Facebook post.
Right.
They actually are out there. They're hand loading. They're shooting.
Yeah, they're living it. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, these guys.
Enjoying it.
There's a guy, a friend of mine that goes out there, Randy Arndt. I love Randy. I remember years ago, we're out there, we're shooting. And of course, I'm under the assumption, if you're going to shoot long range with a handgun, you'd want a long barrel, right?
Yeah.
And so Randy goes, "No, you really want a 4-inch barrel gun." I'm like, "Man, 4-inch? You crazy?" He goes,
I need something that could reach out and basically touch the target.
Yeah, you need a 6.5 Creedmoor, right?
Yeah.
But so he takes out a 6-inch Smith & Wesson 57-41 Magnum and a 4-inch tentacle gun, and we're shooting at this banana rocket 550 yards with it, whatever.
Oh, wow.
And the 4-inch gun is, we're banging away with it.
Yeah,
because through his shooting at this kind of distance all the time, he realized that you don't have to hold up as much front sight because your sight rays are shorter and everything, and it's just easier.
Yeah.
And that's that kind of stuff. You know, you can sit there and theorize on all this stuff, but until you go out there and do it, you really just don't know. But you learn those kind of things. You learn that you don't need a lot of speed to make these long hits and stuff. You know, a six gun running a mid-weight 200 to 250 grain type bullet around 800 to 1,000 feet per second is really pretty ideal.
Right.
You know, on the surface, you think, "Oh, I need a 325 grain bullet at 1,600.
Right.
Not really.
Yeah.
So it's just stuff like that. You learn a lot.
Yeah.
You definitely come back with a new the new focus on what you think you need and what you don't. And it's funny, every time I come back from there, I go through at least a 60-day window where I don't want to carry anything but a large bore revolver.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Then I come back and I've got to ease back into my Glocks and stuff.
Right,
and,
yeah.
But for a while, it's Smith N-Frames and, and 44 Specials. So.
Well, yeah, I was going to say this has to be one of your favorite events of the year because no one's really – you know, you're not worrying about new product or really having to critique or absorb anything. You're just going, you're shooting for fun. You're taking the best, most fun stuff you have, as is everybody, and swapping it and swapping stories and technique. And
it is.
Do they?
And for somebody who that's what they love,
yeah.
It's not work.
Yeah.
You know, it is R&D and it's going out there and getting your hands dirty and everything. But when you love it,
Do they shake you? Well, two questions here. Do they shake you down for new exclusives and they give? I bet they just hand you a list.
Oh yeah. Okay. I actually was handed two lists.
Yeah.
This year. Yeah.
Yeah. And also, do you draw ideas? You know, you get ideas from everywhere when it comes to exclusives and things like that.
Sure.
But this has to be a pretty nice pool.
Yeah.
To pull from as far as ideas.
It's a gold mine.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and it's the little, it's the tweaks. And sometimes it's the stuff that you don't see on the surface.
Yeah.
It's the, you should really put a locking base pin on that gun.
Right.
Or you need an 11 degree force and cone cut on this gun.
Right.
Or maybe you ought to crown the barrel on this.
Yeah.
Or this cylinder throat dimension is really more advantageous for cast bullets.
Yeah.
You know, most guys shooting these calibers are going to be shooting cast bullets.
Yeah.
It's that kind of stuff that, you know, while you don't, it's not necessarily going to be on a spec sheet or something that you can pick up at the counter and see, but it's that kind of input that sometimes goes into these guns that helps make them a little bit better. And that's the kind of stuff that you get from these guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, I'm sure you guys traded a lot of good information there. Industry wise and everything else, I think we can feel a turn, you know, back to our management meeting, you know, the other day, even we're starting to, you know, hear some stories. I know you're in direct contact with, you know, a lot of dealers, mm-hmm. guys you've worked with for a long time.
Sure.
So I guess we could spend a few minutes on where we're at. So here we are in June, ammo is starting to peek its head out a little bit.
It looks like it's,
which is good.
And some of the, you know, the 5.56/9mm, it seems like it's starting to ease back in, and the prices are starting to
come down,
come off the cliff. So
what about maybe some dealers, what are some things you're hearing, you know, from some of our dealers and people that you know, or you know, a trip like this and the guys in the industry, as far as maybe the flow of guns and the flow of production and things like that?
Right. Well, it seems like the consensus that I've gotten from the, you know, the several dealers I've talked to is that, you know, the AR market is starting to taper a little bit, especially the high-end stuff.
Sure.
That's starting to ease up a little bit. Handguns are still
hot,
still doing good.
Yeah.
You know, some of the, you know, revolvers are still super hot. Mm. And I think part of the reason is because a lot of the makers who make revolvers and auto pistols have really focused on auto pistols.
Right.
They haven't made as many revolvers. So,
yeah.
I think got to be a little careful. I think there's a little bit of just pinup demand just because of the lack of availability.
Right.
But there's been an overall higher interest in revolvers.
Yeah.
The one area where I think a lot of dealers are still a little concerned is hunting ammo.
Mm.
While they are starting to see 9mm and 5.56 and some of that kind of stuff kind of starting to buckshot, starting to ease back in, I think they're still a little nervous about some of the...
Is that because all the focus and concentration is just, it's going into 9mm, 223, you know, whatever.
It's an economies of scale thing.
Right, right.
You know, when you're setting up all this stuff, man, you can just keep pumping along. You got more orders than you can ever fill.
Right.
Why would you want to change the machines to go start making 7mm Weatherby?
So we're not, you know, it's you know, again, we're June, so we're not, it's not hunting season, but it's not that far away either, though. You know, when you're looking at it, just, you know.
Especially out west, I mean, you know, those guys are starting to hunt in August, September.
Right.
And, you know, if you're, look, and this is the thing, I think the days, it's a whole hunting thing as a whole. You know, 20 years ago, most people, they bought their ammo a couple months, maybe a month before.
Right.
They sighted their gun and that was it. with this current trend of long range shooting, guys actually going out and shooting their hunting rifles at steel all summer.
Yeah,
they're buying ammo year round.
Right,
it's
right.
not that. Oh, I got it's October. I need to go buy my deer ammo.
Box of 308, and I'm good to
and
go.
And I'm good for the next 2 years.
Right. Yeah.
Now, I think there still is that. There's always going to be that.
Right.
But for the most part, a lot of these guys now are shooting year round.
Yeah.
They're looking for components year round.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think, I just think that a lot of the more obscure stuff, maybe some of the newer stuff, is going to be a little tougher to get. It's funny, a little side, a little kind of how it all works. If you are really in the market for a new gun, you ought to look hard at a 6.8 Western, the new round that Browning and Winchester came out, because the ammo's available.
New to me, yeah, but
so they came. So they the 6.8 Western is kind of. It's a 270 diameter bullet that's similar to, say, like a 6.5 PRC,
mm-hmm.
Kind of similar to a 270 Winchester short mag, but it's more optimized for the heavier, higher BC bullets.
That's a new round?
It's a new round. They just introduced it, a few months ago.
Yeah.
But the cool thing about it is Winchester and Browning are making the guns for it. Well, it's a brand new cartridge, so it's not like somebody's got an old gun that they need to stockpile ammo for.
Yeah.
So if you don't have one of those rifles, there's no need to buy that ammunition.
Yeah.
So that ammunition is pretty available. So if you are in the market, check out the 6.8 Western. The ballistics are actually really good on it, and ammo is readily available. So.
Well, you heard it here first. You heard it. Breaking news. What else are you hearing out there, though? So handguns, long guns, hunting rifles. I mean,
hunting rifles are still hot for us.
Yeah.
I think hunting is going to continue to have an uptick for a while. I do think you'll probably see things fall out more and more common stuff. I think 308, 30-06.
You think the log jam will clear by hunting season a little bit? I mean, we always.
I'll be honest with you. This year, I don't for ammo wise for hunting. I don't think so.
Just
from what I'm hearing, and we don't do ammo, but from what I'm hearing from everybody, they're not super optimistic on that. If you shoot a 280 Ackley improved, and you like a certain nozzle partition load,
it's gonna be tough.
You might have a hard time getting not only something in that cartridge, but in that particular load. You might need to find something, try something else if you can find it.
Yeah.
So. I mean, heck, I've got a 6.5 PRC, and it's been tough getting ammo for it.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, man. Well, there we go. There's a little update. It's crawling along. Can't say where it's moving fast.
It's getting better. I think it's getting better, though.
I've seen a few more boxes on our shelves. Not many, but a few, as opposed to being able to see from one side of the warehouse to the other or straight through the racks.
I think short of some other craziness that we're not accounting for, I do think ammo prices have already peaked, and I think they're going
to
start to come back down a little bit.
Yeah.
I actually picked up some primers the other day.
Yeah, whoa.
Yeah, at a local dealer, been a friend of ours for years. It's about an hour from Baton Rouge. He had some small pistol primers, and I was like, really?
Yeah.
So that's always a good sign.
That
kind of stuff's starting to come back out.
Yeah, I've seen them at some local stores here. They're they quantity limit everyone, which is fine, but at least there's some ammo sitting there.
Yeah.
As opposed to not too long ago, there was just it wasn't even worth going into the store to look for.
Right.
But some of them are, you can go buy your two boxes and come back tomorrow and get two more, I guess. It's a slow trickle, but
it's better than nothing.
Yeah, it is.
And I do, and you're going to start seeing some new products being launched.
That'll be huge.
That's
something that doing this podcast as we've done it, we've got 10 or 11 episodes in now, and we haven't been able to talk a lot about a lot of new guns.
That's really kind of what we did, came up with this whole concept. Yeah. It's like, hey, we can talk about the new guns and new exclusives, and we've had nothing.
But hey, a little teaser, we do have one coming up that we're going to talk about, I think, next week. So
yeah, I believe on the 30th of this month, there's going to be a new gun, one that I am super excited about.
All right, cool. Well,
it's put this way, I will get one immediately.
Okay. Wow. Wow.
I don't say that often.
That's quite an endorsement.
Yeah. It's one that I've been looking forward to for a long time.
Cool. Well, I can't wait to talk about it.
Yep.
You guys will hear you'll hear about it very soon. So we do have a new gun coming. Hopefully more after that. So
yep.
I know you've got some exclusives in the works.
Yeah, we've got the manufacturers are starting to just kind of listen
again.
Yeah. Hey, they remembered my phone number. Yeah. My phone actually rang the last month. But yeah, we do. We've got some a couple of line extensions in the Ruger Bisleys coming out.
Yeah.
That hopefully should be out before too long. I think people will appreciate. And you know, we've always got some other things that's kind of been in the queue that I think as productions they start to fill back out and have some holes, they'll be willing to fill pretty quick.
Let's get them done by SHOT Show, so we've got something to hang on the walls, right?
That's right. We've got a big SHOT Show booth to fill.
That's right. That's right. So
that's a whole nother episode.
Well, good times, Jason, as always. And everyone, you can go to lipsysguns.com. You can check out all of our podcasts there or our YouTube channel or any of the socials at Lipsy's Guns, Facebook, Instagram, and so forth. And I think that's a wrap. So until next time, aim higher.